talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, America. Hey, good Monday morning, or good Monday. Happy Monday. How about that? It's been a long day already. Anyway, hope everybody had a good weekend. I had a pretty good one and got a lot done, I think. I even got a nap yesterday afternoon. It's been a while since I took a nap. I got hot yesterday about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I took me a nap. Got up, got right back after it. So anyway, let's check out some temperatures real quick around the state. Hollis, 89. Cheyenne, home of their secret weapon, is 84. Arnett's 86. Cherokee's 85. Sealing, you're 87. Slap out America, 86 degrees out here in the Panhandle of Texas. 87 at Lipscomb. Canadian, you're 86. 88 at Wellington, and 88 at Odell, and 83 at McLean. Speaking of that, I hear some boys from Western Oklahoma took some of that money, won some of that money out there at the Fall Classic at Shamrock, at the Shamrock Country Club over the weekend. Congratulations to those guys. So, anyway, they won some money. Well, I had a busy weekend, got through running over on peanuts with some water, and hopefully we'll get some rain. Man, there's some pretty good showers. If you were lucky enough to get under one, there was some pretty good rain showers over the weekend. Had a text right before the show started, 2 inches north of Sentinel. I know the Cotton King was eating a T-bone and some potatoes when it started raining, so him and his wife were celebrating the rain showers. And then back over here in the Panhandle around Allison, Wheeler, a little bit into Oklahoma, there was some more rain there Saturday night. So I think there's another round tonight, and then I think it'll be this weekend before we get another chance. But they're, I don't know, they look like they're backing off that rain this weekend, but we'll see. Keep your fingers crossed. We need it. Lord knows we need it big time. With that storm that rolled through the night before, let's see, it'd be Saturday night, it sparked some fires. And speaking of that, let's see, there we go. This is a report from Jared Atha, our news director here. A grass fire ignited by a lightning strike burned roughly 200 acres Saturday night in the Black Kettle National Grassland, 3 miles east of Radon in Roger Mills County. Fortunately, no structures were involved. According to the Roger Mills County Emergency Management Director, Levi Blackketter, the fire started around 9 p.m. as thunderstorms moved through the area. He added that due to smoke inhalation, one individual was taken to the Roger Mills Memorial Hospital in Cheyenne. It was a grader operator for Roger Mills that was up there helping. On our Facebook page, if you get on there and check that post off that Jared posted. How's that? Let's rephrase that. Somebody posted an overview picture from aerial view. Anyway, looks like them grader operators helped big time in getting that thing slowed down. Responding agencies included Radon Volunteer Fire Department, Crawford, Roger Mills County Task Force, and the Oklahoma Forestry Services, who worked throughout the night to contain the blazes. Additionally, another fire sparked north of Radon due to down power lines caused by the storms. This fire was quickly controlled and posed no threat. Well, looking at when the forestry department starts sending out emails every day, things are getting serious, and it's dry, it's hot, and that grass is like gas right now. So for Western Oklahoma, the Western one-third of Oklahoma, and the Panhandle, respectively, Overnight moisture recovery will serve to stall development of any active burning conditions until later this afternoon. Temperatures will warm up in the 89 to 95 degree range this afternoon. Humidity will be around 22%, in the western panhandle around 34% along the 183, Highway 183 corridor. So anyway, winds aren't going to be terrible, so that's a plus. But last but not least here, temperatures will increase throughout the week, coupled with intermittent storm chances focused in northwest and western counties. Precipitation's potential outside storm cells appears to be fairly limited, holding the potential for lightning ignition potential firmly in place. Fire behavior will generally be like the expectation for today illustrated. Higher rain chances come into the picture at the end of the week, favoring the weekend. All eyes are on this system for potentially wet and rain over some areas of state where moisture is needed. So get them drills out if you ain't already. Get her dusted in. I know a lot of the cotton guys already got their cover crops planted in their wheat. And I know some other people, their guys with pivots already got them planted. But anyway, there is some fire bans in effect here. And let me go over these counties so you guys know. I missed this last week, so I apologize for that. Harmon, Greer, Jackson, and Tillman counties, you are all under a countywide burn ban. There you have it. Tillman, Jackson, Greer, and Harmon. Complete burn ban. So for Western Oklahoma, I'll check on the Texas Panhandle during our first break coming up. All right, so let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture produce. Wheat futures plunged in overnight trading amid improving crop prospects and favorable weather in exporting countries. Crop prospects in Australia may get a boost this week. See that word? May. Anything to change the market. May get a boost this week from precipitation in parts of the New South Wales and Queensland, according to weather reports. Output in Australia is now pegged at 32 million metric tons versus the previous projection of 30 million tons. The USDA last week forecast global stockpiles at the end of the 24-25 marketing year at 257.2 million metric tons, up from the previous outlook from 256.6 million. In the U.S., wheat production is forecast at 53.9 million metric tons. That's 1.98 billion bushels, unchanged from last month, but up from the 49.3 million tons produced last year. Corn futures were slightly lower overnight after the USDA raised its outlook for the production in the 24-25 marketing year that started September 1st. Wheat futures for December delivery dropped 9.5 cents, and you're not going to like what the update is either, to 585 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and Kansas City futures lost 10 cents to 590 a bushel. Corn futures fell 3 cents to 410 and a quarter a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery lost 1.5 cents to $10.04 a bushel. Soy meal come up 70 cents to $3.2360 a short ton. And soy oil was down 0.05 cents to 38.88 cents a pound. Money managers reduced their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corns and beans in the 7 days that ended on September 10th. Investors held a net short position of 146,595 future contracts in corn, down from 187,000 a week earlier. That's the smallest bearish position since May 28th. Speculators were net short by 120,720 soybean future contracts. That's down from 146,000 the previous week, and the smallest such position since the 18th of June. Dry weather in parts of Midwest and signs of demand have led to a less bearish approach by investors. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment houses reduced their net shorts and soft red winter wheat futures to 31,000 contracts. That's down from 44,000, and it is also the smallest bearish position since the 28th of May. In hard red winter wheat, investors reduced their bearish positions to 17,000 futures contracts. That's down from 26,000 a week earlier, and the smallest such position since July the 11th. There you have it. Let's see here. Weather in our farm belt. Rain is expected in parts of central Missouri this morning and is forecast to move west through the day. I noticed that one at Sentinel last night on the radar moved west for a while and then all of a sudden it went back southeast. So I don't know. No hazardous weather is expected in this area. Showers are also forecast for parts of eastern Oklahoma and northwestern Arkansas. Parts of Oklahoma and Arkansas will see extremely hot temperature tomorrow and possibly through the rest of the week as heat indexes reach 102. There you go. Well, we had a good time this morning. We preg checked the cows, Dr. Mouse and her group, and me and my group, me and the landlords. We got, we were 100% on preg check. Take that to the bank and deposit it. Anyway. They were all good, and then we gave the calves their second round of shots and put them in a little bit different area. They don't get they get to see their mama, but they don't get to play with mama anymore. So we're going to fence line wing them starting today, already started. So that was all good. Over the weekend, man, just water and peanuts, checking cows. I did. You know, I had my heart set on a state record cantaloupe, and I failed. But I did get 33-pounder, so that's not too shabby. And then, what else? Oh, 2-pound tomato. I had a 1.4, 1.8, and a 2-pound tomato over the weekend. And these are Florida 75 14s. I really think it's 41s, but it's 14. Same number. I got it in the package out in the truck, so I know what it is. I'm trying to not let you guys get in on my Florida tomatoes. Like Florida 91s, they're pretty popular. But anyway, that's a big old tomato. That'll make a lot of tomato and mayonnaise sandwiches. Anyway, but if you're not on social media and you didn't see it, the new state record watermelon was weighed in at the Oklahoma State Fair over the weekend, and oh my gosh, 268 pounds. How about that? 268-pound watermelon. And when I come back from the break, I'll give you a little update on some local people that showed some pumpkins, some squash, and I don't remember what else anyway. Some Harrison kids over there between here and Canute, man, they did really good. I want to brag on them. Amber's done a I think kids kind of cheated, really. I mean, Amber is their mom, and she knows how to grow them big things. But so they had an in on that deal, but they didn't cheat. They did a really good job. Because when I was out there at Amber's to see that pumpkin the year before last, those kids were out there right in the middle of it, just like she was. So anyway, we'll have more on that coming up. So let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. And when I come back, we'll have update the Lipscomb dealerships. Update on the futures. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 6th. 2,644 head were sold. 14 head of steers at 381 brought 352.50. 10 at 416 brought 313. 6 at 603 brought 238. 5 at 644 brought 242. 4 at 673 brought 223. 23 at 706 brought 238. 14 head of heifers at 404 brought 302. 7 at 526 brought 253. 4 at 550 brought 241. 10 at 659 brought 223.50. 9 at 676 brought 220. 5 at 696 brought 214.50. Butcher cows were 33 to 157. Butcher bulls were 91 to 182. Bred cows were 1335 to 2550. Pairs brought 2025 to 2825. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI Agritech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle kits, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI Agritech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater, featuring 42 registered age advantage bulls, also an elite group of 17 registered heifers, and over 100 bred commercial heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale near Sweetwater the first Monday in October. The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. Canadian, 86 degrees. And you guys will have to excuse me. Today is going to be a bad day for me on the radio. Allergies are bad anyway, and then I did the dust this morning, so bear with me, and I'm sorry. Heat index at 87, the humidity's 48, 2.64. The winds are out of southeast at 6 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 20 miles an hour. No rainfall so far this month. Red flag minutes today, 0. 88 soil temperature, 83 degrees. About that. Okay, before we get to the ag markets, let me update you on the kids I was talking about earlier. So, this is from the Pumpkin Mom, who is a.k.a. Amber Harrison here. Anyway, the kids all did good. One of them got first place marrow. I guess I'm saying that right, at 30 pounds. That's, if I remember right, that's a gourd. And then second place bushel gourd at 44 pounds. And then a first place, another one of the kids, first place squash at 150 pounds, grown in 150 square foot area. And then it looks like Fulton got fourth place in the open Atlantic giant with his 456 pound pumpkin grown in 150 square foot. Some big old vegetables. Here I was worried about a 2 pound tomato. They're talking weights up there that, like me. Anyway, congratulations to all the kids. I know Briley Pritchard was up there with some of her stuff, and I'm sure there's more kids had stuff up there, but 268-pound state record for the watermelon. Goodness gracious. That's a big old thing. All right, let's check out the market, see what they are doing now. And, man, wheat's not doing very good at all. So corn's at 410 for December, down 3. March is 428, down 2 3/4. Soybeans for November, 1001. down 4.5. January 10/20 down 4.25. Soybean meal for October 317.40 down 1. December 321.40 down 150. Soybean oil for October 39.76 up 23. December 39.10 up 17. Hard red winter wheat December 580 down 20. It was actually worse a while ago. March 593 down 19.25. Okay, cotton. I'm not talking about cotton. They don't want me to talk about cotton. So let's just shoot on over to the energies. Crude oil out of West Texas, October 69.91, actually up 126 today. November 68.86, up 111. Natural gas is keeps creeping up a little bit, which is good. October 236, up 6, and November's 262, up 3. The NASDAQ and the S&P, not so good. Dow doesn't look too bad. Let's get over here to the cattle. The lives are in the red, but not terribly. So October's 177.32, down 32. December 178.42, down 7. And feeder cattle for September, 241.60, down 30. October, 239.20. I don't even know why I said September. 239.20, up 7 cents. November's 235.55, up 35. And it just changed on me. Lean hogs, October, 79.65, up 120. There you have it. It's pretty good stuff. They got sale going on right now at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. I got the numbers in from Brandon yesterday. It was pretty good there Friday. I know it's down. It's still off from what it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it's still good. I don't care what you say, who you say, and how you say it. All right, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, 10 head or 10,000 head. Cow-calf, stockers, or feeders, selling at the sale barn, retaining ownership, or marketing retail, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association has something for everyone. As cattle producers, we all have many of the same goals in mind: profitability, stewardship, feeding the world with integrity, and protecting our resources and livelihood for generations to come. To become a member or to learn about ways to get more involved, go to OKCattlemen.org. I'm telling you guys, it's an awesome group to be a member of. And so there we go. Before we go to our next break, just wanted to throw this in there because I got a little politics involved in the show today. I hate to, but this farm bill not getting passed is a joke. I'm sorry. Our Congress and our president need to get out of the closet and get some work done. And I know politics is involved in all this, but this thing's already a year overdue. And I talked to one of my listeners and one of the guys that comes on the show every now and then there, Mr. Jimmy Music, which you guys all respect him down there at Sentinel. Anyway, he just got back from Washington and he felt like it wasn't going to get passed. So between all these organizations, no matter whether you're a member of them or not, or don't like them, or you do like them, we need to get all the organizations together and put the heat on Congress to get this farm bill passed, because it needs to be done. There's a lot of stuff in limbo about it, and we just need to get it done. Citing worsening economic conditions impacting the nation's farmers, the National Cotton Council led an effort that resulted in more than 300 national and state groups, including like the Georgia Cotton Commission, the Georgia Peanut Commission, and numerous groups out of Oklahoma and Texas, sending a letter to congressional leaders hoping that calling on them to pass the farm bill before this year's end. Oh, yeah, sorry. I just got corrected by one of the listeners. The president is in the basement, not in the closet. Yeah, I think it's Surgeon General's the one that's in the closet. I better not go there. Thanks for getting me in trouble. Anyway, signatures included groups representing farmers, livestock, and specialty group producers, lending, and other essential stakeholders in the agriculture communities across the U.S. Commodity and lending groups will head to the Capitol this week to advocate for passage of the legislation with a stronger agriculture safety net. It's critical that Congress pass a new farm bill that strengthens the safety net, as many producers are facing multiple years of not being profitable. And this is causing their overall financial situation to deteriorate. This year is not a good year. I mean, it's just, there's been some good, but this year is what you read and talking to people, it's not the greatest. And yes, the prices on cattle's been good, but not everybody has cattle. And you guys know as well as I do, this little gold rush we got going on cattle, the cattle market cycles. Now, this could be different, maybe so, and I hope so. But we got droughts going on. It's just, man. So anyway, the farm bill is typically passed every 5 years and supports the nation's farmers through a variety of safety net, credit, conservation, and other critical programs. The law was originally scheduled to be reauthorized in last November to be exact. Congress voted to extend the existing legislation to September 30th at the end of this month. We got a couple of weeks left. Since that point, the leadership from both parties on the Senate and House Agriculture Committees have worked to push the legislation forward. Since the beginning of the year, the harvest price of major crops traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the Intercontinental Exchange have fallen by an average of 21%. But I bet our expenses hasn't fallen 21%. Am I right or wrong? While total production cost remains near record levels. There, yeah, read my mind. Farmers and their allies say the challenges have exposed areas of the Farm Bill that need to be strengthened. Since 2018, Farm Bill was signed into law. We have realized considerable gaps in the farm safety net due to sharply changing conditions, including the trade war with China, and that China is the reason why oil's so cheap right now, uncertainty, the Russian invasion in Ukraine, COVID-19, and related supply chain challenges, rising foreign subsidies, tariffs, non-tariff trade barriers, and other harmful practices. These conditions seriously tested the effectiveness of the 2018 Farm Bill and was only by aggressive use of supplemental assistance that many farms survived. True or false? Very true. So anyway, sorry I'm snotty, guys. It's me. I apologize. I can't hit that button when I do that, but I'll try to. My bad. So anyway, I got another deal on the farm bill that I want to discuss with you guys coming up here in a little bit. But anyway, if you get a chance, guys, take the time, whether you're a farmer, rancher, or a landowner, or hey, just a regular old human out there, send an email or call in to your respective congressman and or senator, both, and light into them. Whether, it might not be their fault this is not passing, but hey, they get enough calls in, they're going to say, hey guys, I'm tired of this. It's using up some of my air minutes, my minutes on my phone bill. Anyway, no, just call them in, be nice, and say, hey, these guys, we need a farm bill. We need to know what's going on, because the commodities, as you guys, we all know, is way down, and we got droughts going on, and this going on, and that going on, and yes, we got a really nice cattle market going on, but you can only sell so many of them. So anyway, see what happens. Let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, we'll have more agriculture news.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Wake up. breakfast. And Nature Made vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Eric.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate, and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
When it comes time to put your hard-earned money toward a new vehicle, count on Lipscomb Dealerships to give you a better value and car buying experience with friendly, no-pressure sales and quality service backed by a half century of experience. Save more in the country at our 7 dealerships across Texoma with over 1,000 Chevy, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Ford vehicles, plus KTMs and Can-Ams, always on sale at LipscombDealerships.com. Good people, great deals, and family-owned since 1979.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, Cotton King is getting me in trouble with the Cotton Queen. Hey, I got to share this text that I got on our message, or this message I got on the text line. This farmer texts in, I got right at 2 inches of rain between Saturday and Sunday, 9 miles south of Canute. I was plowing Saturday night when the storm hit and lightning struck the ground close enough to the tractor that I hit the eject button and got off of that quick. Yeah, that ain't good, dude. They got apps on your phone. When one gets within 50 miles, you need to get off that tractor and go to the house. Time to do other things. It is not worth it one bit. So anyway, all right, let's check out some weather, ag weather up in northwestern Oklahoma. Where am I not being here lately? Sealing. I haven't been to Sealing in a while. Let's see what's going on up there. 89 degrees at Sealing. Feels like 91. Dew point 64. Humidity's 44. The winds are out of the south at 10 miles an hour. No rainfall in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 83 degrees. Sunset at 7:42. 10% chance of isolated thunderstorms today. 93 for a high. 64 for a low tonight. 10% isolated thunderstorms. 10% chance, that is. Tomorrow, sunny and 93 with south winds 6 to 14 miles an hour. Okay. Anyway. Are you guys getting your Cow-Calf Corner email every Monday morning from Dr. Beck? If you don't, you need to subscribe. It's real easy to do. Just Google Oklahoma, Cow-Calf Corner, and they'll take you to a link in there and say, do you want to subscribe or participate? Get after it. So anyway, it's funny that this came up today on the day that's what we're doing. Let's talk about fence line weaning. I know a lot of you do it. A lot of you don't for various reasons, but maybe some of you guys out there need to have your memory refreshed on why you should probably do fence line weaning. Regardless of when and how many calves you will wean, methods of reducing stress on fresh weaned calves is of great interest to the cattleman and benefit of the cow-calf operations, especially at today's price. Dude, if you lose one calf, it costs you a lot of money. Traditional methods of weaning calves typically involve total separation of calves from cows by moving calves to a new pasture or a dry lot pen. This week, we address the concept of fence line weaning, according to Professor Mark Z. Johnson, Oklahoma State University Extension Beef Cattle Breeding Specialist. Fences need to be sturdy enough to permit nose-to-nose contact while preventing nursing. You know, I've seen that. I've seen cow standing on one side, the calf on the other side, getting him his daily dose of milk. The objective of fence line weaning is to allow social interaction between calf and dam while weaning the calves off mother's milk. Studies have shown several benefits of fence line weaning. Calves bawl and walk less for the first several days of weaning, post-weaning. Calves spend more time resting and eating during the first several days of post-weaning. Calves gain more weight in the first couple of weeks post-weaning. Calves that eat and drink more during the first days after weaning stay healthier. So when we got through preg checking the cows this morning, we turned them out in the one pasture, and then we had the calves left, and we gave them the second round of they had already been worked and castrated and everything. Those calves, I had a feeder out there for them when they was a month old. I kept feed out there for them. Then things went straight to the troughs and were eaten within 5 minutes. So they know what's going on. They know what that feed is. I think myself, that's one of the more important things, is they know what feed is before you wean them. That's one of the, because they go right to eating. And they're not sitting around moping, their mama's gone, and I don't have no mom. Where's my mama? I think that's one of the major things. Anyway, let's see here. Best practices for successful fence line weaning. Move the cows and leave calves in the same pasture or lot. We kind of did that. When this is done, calves already know location of water, feed, and grazing, and they know that. So, no, it ain't the same pasture, but they got to go to the water, same place. If this is not possible, locate water troughs and feeders along the fence line where calves and cows will initially congregate, increasing the likelihood the calves will find water and feed early on the process. And that's what's happening at our deal. They're in the big lot for now, for today and tomorrow, and their mamas are right there. So they can go over there through that continuous fencing and give their mama a kiss. Anyway, avoid adding unnecessary stress like castrating, dehorning, branding, or vaccinations at the time of weaning. Now, we gave them their second round of shots today, but them calves were so good, they didn't give no trouble. Now, if you only see your calves once a week and they're wild, yes, that would not be a good deal. By completing these processes several weeks prior to weaning or after weaning is complete, fencing needs to be adequate. A typical 5-strand barbed wire fence will usually be satisfactory. If calves are still able to nurse through the fence, adding another strand electric fence offset from the main fence, possibly on both sides, should be adequate. We got 6 wire, never had any problem. So anyway, just something to think about. It does. We've done, see, what have we done this 2 years in a row now? And no sick calves. And I know other guys that I know personally that do the same thing, except one of my buddies, Einstein, up there in Roger Mills County, he used a hot wire. That didn't work out too good. Well, didn't work out too good the one time the fence wasn't working. So anyway, we go from there. And see here. Hey, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen Association break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. And come back, finish up the show.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you hate your job? Feel like your career's stuck? Are you missing home and looking for financial freedom? Your local John Deere dealer, Western Equipment, has limited openings for our one-year college mechanics program. The start date of classes will be January 2025. If you're selected, we'll be giving you a set of Snap-on tools, tuition reimbursement, and a guaranteed job. No prior mechanics is necessary to apply, but you must be a hard-working grinder that's willing to do whatever it takes. After graduation, we offer the benefits and pay you've been looking for to build a future for your family. Apply today at west-equip.com/makecareer.
I don't like onions. I'm doing paleo. Do they have gluten-free bagels? You can't juggle every food request for a work event, or can you? Easy Cater is the all-in-one tech platform that makes it easy to get restaurant catering for work, with options for any group, size, taste, dietary preference, or budget. Easy Cater saves your favorite restaurants and orders, which makes reordering a snap. Need to modify an order? No problem. So when it comes to food for work, make it easy on yourself with Easy Cater. Start your order at easycater.com.
You look outside and notice the grass is getting tall and will need mowed soon. But your old push mower is on its last leg and you sure could use a new mower. You head down to the convenience store and get your usual cup of coffee and pick up a copy of the Penny News. Then you see it. It's right there on the front page. DJ's Rentals in Elk City is discounting their in-stock zero-turn mowers. You think to yourself, now's the perfect time to get what I need and save some money too. My wife will be so proud.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Whoa. Somebody snuck in behind me there. Anyway, we got the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. I went in and picked the big city of Lone Wolf. 88 degrees, feels like 91. Dew point 67. Humidity's 47. The winds are out of the south at 7 miles an hour. 10-day rain total says 18 one-hundredths of an inch, but I think that's for Hobart. And 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 84 degrees. Sunset at 7:42. Sunny, 93 today. Clear, 66. We're going to have pretty close to a full moon tonight. And sunny and 93 tomorrow. So, there you have it. And I apologize for my sniffling. My allergies kicked in big time since I was playing in the dirt. I wanted to share this message that I got from a certain person. Just a note to say thank you. Zoe Carlisle made the top 30 in the NFR National Anthem Contest. You remember Zoe? She's the one that sang the National Anthem from Sweetwater FFA, came in here last winter, February, on National FFA Week. This is big. It's big time now. So the judges now, I don't think this is up to the public to vote. So judges now will select 8 from the 30, and then voting starts again September 25th. Hopefully she makes the cut. So if any of you guys know the judges with the NFR, call them, grab their wrist, put it behind their back, jar them up a little bit. Make sure that Zoe Carlisle gets this. She did such a sweet job on the show back then. So anyway, good luck to you, Zoe. Hope everything works out for you on that deal, because she sang it at OYE last spring. So she's going to be pretty good. And you guys heard her just belted out here on the show last time. So anyway, congratulations. Okay. You guys remember me saying about a month ago that the Mississippi River was full and flood stations and all that stuff? Well, guess what? It was just 2 months ago that much of the Mississippi River was above flood stage north of St. Louis. Since then, the river level has dropped steadily, according to one news outlet up there. The Associated Press's Jim Salter reported this past week the water level of the Mississippi River is unusually low for the third straight year, forcing barge companies to put limits on how much cargo they can carry and cutting into farm products. Profits, too. It was just 2 months ago that much of the Mississippi River was above the flood stage. Since then, it has dropped steadily. The area south of St. Louis has been hit especially hard, mirroring low water concerns that began around the same time in 22 and 23. As part of the fallout, barge companies are forced to limit the soybeans, grain, and other cargo that carry to prevent barges from potentially getting stuck. This means less profit for farmers. Salter reported about 60% of the U.S. grain exports are taken by barge to the Mississippi to New Orleans, where the corn, soybeans, and wheat is stored, ultimately transferred for shipment to other countries. And I know what you guys did. Why is Jimmy talking about this? You know, we get our fertilizer up the Mississippi on up the Arkansas to Tulsa. That's where a lot of our dry fertilizer comes from out here. So, yes, this affects us out here too. With cargoes limited, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's most recent grain transportation report showed that for week ending August 31st, 480,750 tons of grain moved on barges, a 17% drop from the previous week. Meanwhile, costs were up sharply. Freight rates originating in St. Louis were 8% higher than the same period last time and up 57% compared to the 3-year average. That's what's killing us, guys, is the freights. Freight rates originating in Memphis were 10% higher than last year and 63% higher than the 3-year average. Our commodities are worth the same. Everything's going up. And I can't blame the freight guys. You guys bought a semi-truck tire lately? Yeah. Or got your oil changed? Yeah, it's crazy. And fuel, Man, fuel's just been up and down a little bit here and there for the last couple of years, but it's pretty nice right now. But anyway, so I can't really blame it on fuel. In addition to the St. Louis area, Progressive Farmers Mary Kennedy reported that barge groundings have been common, especially around the Memphis area, and dredges are out helping create a channel for barges to safely pass through. The dredge Jadwin moved to Island 30 mm, mile marker 783 to 785, and according to the American Commercial Barge Line, there will be rolling 24-hour closures beginning last week. A lot of dredges will do there. This story just put out today, and they're talking about this last week. Barge drafts have also been cut, and each foot of draft that is reduced means a barge cargo is cut by 200 tons. So not cool. And this development is clearly unwelcome, Kennedy reported. Soybean and grain farmers have a number of headwinds confronting the industry. If therefore essential that our supply chain is a facilitator of profitability, not an obstacle. Can you say amen? Here we go. So that's what's happening in the Mississippi River. Oh, I got a message from my wife. So this morning when I left out of there pretty early to get over here, and I had to get some protein tubs put out for the cows that we just weaned their babies off of them and stuff. Anyway, on the process, I'm always looking for deer in my neighborhood. Bam! I just ran flat over, and I looked back, and I thought it went in the bar ditch. But I guess her and the dogs went on a walk, and the deer was in the middle of the road, and I didn't know that. Or I would have stopped and moved it. So I got a message here a while ago that there's about 200 vultures circling the area now because of what I did this morning. I guess I did that on purpose because I wanted to see if there was any black vultures in the area. I'm not going to lie to you. When I left SEI with those protein tubs and went down Country Club from Elk City High School, when I crossed Merritt Road, there was two black-headed vultures in the trees right there by the Elk City police gun range. Pistol range. And they weren't juvenile. They were pretty big birds. I don't know. This is crazy how these... One black vulture showed up last week, and now we got sightings all over going on. And so, anyway, fall calvers, all I can do is, I'm not trying to put the fear in anybody, but just keep an eye on your babies until they're old enough and running around. Because I'm having some fall calves down there by the house right now. And so far, so good. So, I think it's more common than you think, but it's not a bunch of them. Does that make sense? It's not going to be an everyday occurrence as of right now. I hear the black vultures getting after your babies, but besides the one I lost about a month and a half ago, and Jordan Davis Cook said they lost one last year, and some other people reporting, it happens. So just keep an eye on them. And remember what Lieutenant James said Friday. So, if I need to remind you, then it is. Hey, you know deer season is 2 weeks away? Can you believe it? It's already here. Archery season's here. So, we'll be here October 1st. Get your tags. Get your deals out. Please help this year with eradicating in a humane way coons. There's too many raccoons out there. I'm sorry. We're up to 32 on my 30-acre peanut field right now that have been rehomed. And so, anyway, they're hard on things. And the pigs have showed up and my peanuts. That's all right. I'll get them. They don't scare me. They make me mad, just like they do any other farmer. Anyway, the drought monitor was put out last Thursday, but here is Dr. Daryl Peel's feeling on it. Drought conditions have increased rapidly in Oklahoma in recent weeks. The figure shows drought conditions in Oklahoma as of September 10th, 78.5% or 58%, 78.5% of Oklahoma is abnormally dry or in some stage of drought. The drought severity coverage index is currently 173 out of a possible 400. Because of dry conditions, very little wheat has been planted at this time and has been dusted in to await hope for rain. Prospects for winter grazing, wheat grazing, are decreasing each passing week. Wheat planted after mid-September will have less time to grow sufficient forage for winter grazing, assuming moisture is forthcoming. The start of winter grazing will be pushed back like it was last year, and stocking rates will be likely reduced. So, anyway, we all know this, but Dr. Peel wanted me to throw that out there to you guys. Anyway, you guys have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust, Elk City and Sayre America. God bless.